Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Evangelist Jerry Savinsky. The title of his message is God's Leading in Elijah's Life. The text is from the book of 1 Kings, chapters 17 and 18.
We're very fortunate today to have speaking in the chapel Dr. Jerry Savinsky. Dr. Savinsky is one of my favorite preachers and favorite evangelists. He's a member of the board of directors of Bob Jones University. He's been in evangelism for more than 30 years. I've often said from this pulpit that God is family-oriented in His ministry. Everything He's done is family-oriented. You can tell much about a man's ministry and personal life by his family. Dr. Savinsky's three boys have all followed him into the ministry. His daughter Jennifer is here at Bob Jones University Press. His wife Sharon has a full-time ministry trying to keep up with him and keep him going the right place at the right time. He's a man that has many varied interests, but his primary interest is the Word of God and reaching people's hearts for God. His speaking has improved quite a bit over the 30-some-odd years I've known him. He's from West Virginia, and he had to learn English, and particularly Southern English. He's done a great job at that, and now we can understand him. And he preaches a powerful message to us, and we are thrilled to have him here today with us. Dr. Savinsky, you come and give us the Word of God.
Okay, thank you so very much, Dr. Bob. We are glad to come back here, and someone, whoever this is, God bless you. I got a payday candy bar when I was here the last time, so thank you so much. We want to first of all say that there's a group of young people here from South Bend, Indiana, Community Baptist Church. My son's the youth pastor, Brent, and Pastor Brent told me to tell you all to straighten up and to study hard and do right, all right? And one of the great thrills, really, of meeting young people. I've had meetings at Community Baptist Church up there. And I'm impressed by the young people at that church. And for those of you here today, we thank God for your lives. There's a young man here who we've taken a special interest in. His name is Sean Wood. Sean's a student here preparing for the ministry. Sean gets up at 4 o'clock every morning to go on a job. Then he's a married man, and he has obligations of a job. He has the obligation of coming here to Bob Jones. And I'm praying God will shape that man's life. Same goes for you young people. There are a lot of you young people here I know. And I pray God's blessings upon your lives. I really do. And trust that what you hear this morning will be a help to your life. Okay? Take your Bible and go to 1 Kings, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 17. A man of God that has deeply stirred my heart is the man of God, Elijah. And there's some things in this man's life that I want to call to your attention, young people, because I really feel that as you look upon this man's life, there are things you as a student, you as a faculty or staff, will be able to relate to. And so look at 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the heavens of Gilead, sent unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, for whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Look here. Elijah came on the scene at one of the most crucial times in the history of Israel. The new king was one of the worst that ever ruled over the land. 1 Kings 16:30 says, And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This wicked, ungodly man had two goals in mind. First of all, he wanted to stamp out the faith of God's people. Number two, he wanted them to worship the false god Baal. At that crucial hour, the Lord raised up the great prophet Elijah. Elijah's name means, my God is Jehovah. And this man's very presence was to display the power of God. And that was important, young people, because the people of Israel had lost sight of the Lord. In Acts 17:23, the Word of God says, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Elijah was declare this unknown God to Ahab and Jezebel, a husband and wife that were the most diabolical team in the Old Testament. Ahab had no fear of God. His unbelief knew no boundaries. But the vastness of this man's ungodliness was no comparison to the greatness of Elijah's faith. For in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, Elijah said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Whenever a man stands with God, he can withstand all the powers of this earth. Romans 8, 31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Exodus 14, 14, "The Lord shall fight for you." Deuteronomy 33, 27, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Romans 8, 37, "For we are more than conquerors through Him." Psalm 1, 18, verse 6, the psalmist said, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear." And Elijah had no fear. He stood, he gave the message, and then he left. And when Elijah left, we find God led this man to several locations that I want to call to your attention today. And you know the reason why? Because every last one of you in this room, God also will put you in these different locations. What were the locations? First of all, look at verse 2 and 3. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Everyone look here, please. The first place God led this man was at Cherith. It's at Cherith we see the provision of God for Elijah. After the man of God gave the message, God then separates him and then provides for him in the most unusual fashion. 1 Kings 17, 6 says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening." Question. Why did God choose ravens to feed Elijah? Ravens are vultures. Ravens are an unclean bird. Why did God choose ravens to take care of the man of God? The answer is Isaiah 55, verse 8, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Hey, whenever God provides, God will provide for you in His own unique fashion. For example, many years ago, my wife had a financial need and no one knew of it. The need was exactly $350. Sharon and I were praying about this financial need. I was preaching revival in Williamston, New York. And one night, at the close of a meeting, a teenage girl walked up to me and said, "I'd like to give this to you, a little small note." I said, "Well, thank you." I put the note in my pocket. I went on and preached. Because so often teenagers give me small notes. And so I got home that night. I pulled the envelope out. I opened it up, I pulled out her letter, and when I did, that girl had placed 7 brand new $50 bills. Exactly $350. And she wrote, "I do not know why I'm giving you this certain amount, but God impressed on my heart to give you this $350. You see, young people, there's always a Cherith for you. Right now, there's some of you young men, there's financial needs. You young ladies, there are financial needs. Maybe physical needs. Maybe you're going through a very difficult hour. Let me tell you something. God says, "I will always be your source of provision." The Bible says in Psalm 37:25, "I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And in your journey as a young individual or as an adult, all through your life, there will always be a Cherith. There will always be a place of provision for you. Second of all, look in verse 9. Arise, get thee hence. Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now look here, please. We see the God lend the Cherith. That was the provision of God for Elijah. Now God moves him to Zarephath, and this is the place of the program of God for Elijah. Zarephath means a smelting furnace. It's a place, young people, they take a large metal pot. They put an extreme heat under it. And then they put broken pieces of metal within the pot. As the pot gets extremely hot, all of the metal inside begins to melt. Then all of the impurities in the metal rise to the surface. They then take a large spoon called a cadle and they scrape all of the impurities off of the top so the metal will be strong in its final states. Now look, I'm left-handed. Everything I do is left-handed. If I could take this preaching finger right here and point every one of you out, I'd say this to you. Every last one of us in this room, there are impurities within our lives. No exceptions. Including this man right here. So what does God do to us? God puts us in a Zarephath. He puts the heat under our lives. For what reason? To destroy you? No. Cause these impurities to surface so God can extract them and make you a stronger child of God. What were the impurities in the life of Elijah? First of all, God was removing pride. Where you get that from? I get that from the Bible. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Zidon was composed entirely of Gentiles. Elijah was a Jew. The Jews had little dealings with the Gentiles. And yet God did not want pride in the life of the men of God, and therefore he'll be taken care of by a Gentile widow. Young people, look me right in the eyes. I would I could voice this to you as an individual. There's something God does not want in your life, or in my life. And that's this area of pride. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17 states these six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before fall. Hey, pride is like cancer. It'll affect every spiritual organ in your life and leave you a skeleton. So God removed pride. Second, God extracted self-sufficiency. In 1 Kings 17:11, Elijah said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. She said in 1 Kings 17:12, as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And from this very small amount, God was going to take care of Elijah, the man of God. Many years ago, a great man of God made this statement to me. He said, Jerry, God will never allow you to ever get to the place where you do not have to depend upon Him. May I voice that to you? You'll never have made, young lady. Hey, fella, you'll never have it made. All through life, your sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So God removed self-sufficiency from the life of the men of God. And last of all, God removed self-reliance. In 1 Kings 17:17, the Word of God says, this lady, this Gentile widow, her son died. When the son died, the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:20 of Elijah, and he cried unto the Lord. In 1 Kings 17:21, the word of God says, and he stretched himself upon the child three times. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever come to a place in your life when you literally fell on the floor and you wept and said, Lord, I do not know what to do. Hey, I'm not here to try to impress one of you, but I'm not ashamed either to voice to you from my heart. There have been times in my life when I literally have fallen on my face on the floor and I have wept and cried and said, Dear Lord, I do not know what to do. Oh God, I do not know what to do. You see, young people, if you think you're a hot shot, you think you're a great athlete, you've got the intellectual power, you've got the looks, you've got the charisma, then God will do this to you. God's going to put you on your face. Well, you realize if anything is accomplished, it's accomplished because God put the heat under your life. And God began to extract these things that are a curse within your life, and that God can never use you until those things are taken out. May I say this, young people, Zarephath is not a pleasant place. And I guarantee you, as I stand there, there's some of you right now, you are in Zarephath. The heat is hot in your life, and you're discouraged, and you're ready to quit. And if you, look at me, if you ever run from Zarephath, there's no way God could ever shape your life, and all through life, you'll be a complete failure when you run from the place where God has ordained to shape your life. The Bible says in Job 23:10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Psalm 66:12, we went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. So Zarephath, that's the place of the program of God for our lives. But third of all, take your Bible now and go to 1 Kings 18:21. The third place is Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Look here, please. Now, it's at Mount Carmel we see the place of the power of God for Elijah. And young people, this place called Mount Carmel, where the power of God is manifested, God will never send you there first and ruin you. No, you've got to go through Cherith. You've got to know God will provide for you. You've got to go through Zarephath. He has to put the heat under our lives. He'll shape you. Then, one day, he'll put you on Mount Carmel, where you'll see the genuine power of God. Elijah said to the 450 prophets of Baal, you build an altar, you put a bullock on, no fire under, you call on your God. You call on Baal. And they did. For 6 hours, young people, they prayed. They cut themselves with knives and stones and said, oh, Baal, hear us. But there's no answer. After 6 hours of crying to Baal, they're now defeated. They are exhausted. They're weak. Elijah came on the scene. Elijah built the altar, put the bullock on, and then said, bring 4 barrels of water, pour it on the altar, which they did. Then he said, bring 4 more barrels of water, and they did. And he also said, bring 4 more, and they poured all of the water on the altar. And then the man of God did not pray 6 hours. He prayed 63 words. And when the last word came out of his mouth, fire fell from heaven, consumed everything, and the people cried in 1 Kings 18:39, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You know what, young people? They saw the genuine power of God. In your life, If you see the genuine power of God and see God do things, you must realize it has to come from God Himself. That's how God will motivate, stir, challenge, and one day use you. Minutes ago, my wife and I and my children praying for a new truck. My truck had 194,000 miles on it. And so we were leaving Pennsylvania, and we were claiming Philippians 4 and verse 6. And so I said, all right, let's all quote Philippians 4 and verse 6. And the entire family quoted Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then I said these words to my family, my children, my wife. I said, we are praying this coming fall, the Lord will provide us with a new truck. When all of a sudden, one of my sons, whose name is Scott, was in the back seat. He said, hey, Dad. I said, what is this, Scott? He said, Dad, do you know what God could do? I said, no, Scott, what could God do? He said, Dad, God could provide the truck next week. I said, well, Scott, He could do that, but we're praying for this coming fall. Scott said that July the 2nd. 3 days later, July the 5th, God gave us a brand new truck. Unknown to us, several businessmen in Indiana became burdened and concerned for our ministry and surprised us with a brand new truck. We're talking diesel, young men. We're talking one ton. We're talking crew cab. I mean loaded. We got home that night, 11:30, my wife and I sat down, and I'll stand here, the tape, my boys did. My one son, Brent, all he could do was this. He kept walking back and forth and crying out, don't tell me there's no God. Don't you tell me there's no God. My younger son, Scott, he kept pacing back and forth, crying out, and don't tell me God does not answer prayer. Don't you tell me God does not answer prayer. As long as I live, I'll never forget that. Children seeing, Dad did not manipulate, was not a con artist. This came from God. What are you, young man? Are you a con artist? Are you always pining for needs? What kind of God do you serve? Does He know you're struggling right now? Does not He know you've got needs? I've got four children. Every day of my life, those children are on my mind. God thinks of you all the time. He knows your need. He wants to show His power. And this morning, Mount Carmel is a place where you'll see the power of God. But I cannot close without saying this. If you're unsaved, and there could be someone here listening to me, you're not saved, you're not know Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you right now to your face, and I pray to God it gets in your heart, you'll never know the power of God until you come to Jesus Christ. It's not a catechism you need. It's not a baptism you need. It's God's Son who died for your sins and was buried and arose again that you might have life everlasting. And you'll never see the power of God until you come to Christ. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. I stand here as a testimony of the power of Christ. My home was wrecked by alcohol, fighting, profanity, ungodly living. Jesus raised down, saved our home. I stand here as a testimony. The power of Christ is not just for one individual. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you come to Christ, He'll save you as well. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our Father, we pray for the Spirit of God to take this message. Work in hearts of these students who are going through difficult times. And Father, for those who may not know Christ as their Savior, may someone bow their head and cry out and ask Christ to save them.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Evangelist Jerry Savinsky. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.